flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Gerard Mayo this morning on a Mayo Monday, Greg Hill Show. If you missed any of it, it's on the Odyssey app.
On to Arizona is what he is.
Have you been told you're coming back by Robert Kraft?
I'm not going to get into all that. That'd be a no.
So, I mean, I don't know. Is it standard protocol on the bye week or even late in the season to be told you're coming back? Is that an after the season thing? Like, I don't.
Do you think he's confident that he will be back?
Well,
actually, maybe that's not the right way of asking, because he might be, but maybe he shouldn't be.
I think he's at least talking like he is.
He has talked about how he's going to make the year two jump.
That answer shows a little bit of, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's alternate ways to look at how he answered that. Like, I'm not going to speak for my owner through the media and reveal anything. Like, that's all possible. But that's the first time I've heard him not talk like he's back next year, right? He's constantly been like, I'm going to make a year or two leap. We're going to be better next year. Blah, 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 blah. Here, have you been told you're back? I'm just focusing on this week.
Yeah, it is weird because I'm sure his contract is for, what, 4 years? Three, four, five?
Something like
four
that.
Four years, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So, like, should you have to be told that you're going to be back? Maybe not. Like, if it's implied that you're back, I'm sure that, you know, you wouldn't go to a good head coach who's under contract and be like, hey, you're definitely back next year.
Right.
Like, yeah, that's the idea.
Yeah,
like,
seriously.
Thanks. So maybe by not even being told, you can kind of spin it as, isn't that a positive? Like, I didn't get that reassurance, which would come at a time where you're like, yeah, I was planning on being back. Like, what, you're telling me that I'm going to be back? So I don't know, but like, you are 3-10. You talk all the time about wins and losses, and you're 3-10. So,
and you guaranteed you'd be better than a year ago.
And you're not going to be.
No.
And so
you might be worse.
And
right now, it looks like you're going to be worse.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to be worse. But so it's sort of a tough one. It is a tough question because maybe he has, but he doesn't want to put it out there that Robert Kraft said that. Or he hasn't. And then it just sort of allows you to sort of like jump into it. But it is funny when he's so focused on Arizona. Like, okay, like that's. Because he doesn't always do that, right? Like, that's one thing. When Bill would be pretty consistent with all that
nonsense. The idea is he's supposed to be transparent and answer everything.
Nah, he's not.
And he completely punted on that.
No.
So it could be nothing. I acknowledge that could be nothing.
Yeah. Do you think Robert Kraft knows right now 100% what he is doing next year?
No.
See, I think these four games are pretty important. I think these four games, and maybe, again, not necessarily record, because you're going to be dogs in all of them. You got the Bills twice, but is it a bleep storm? Is it like more like questions? Because that report came out, or not the report, but the sit down that Mayo had with Curran, and he's like, Kraft talks to him after every game and asks him questions after every game, like, why didn't you go for two, or why did you do this here and that there? So if it's four more games where there's a lot of questions and you don't like the answers, Maybe that changes Robert's opinion.
I think it's beyond just the wins and losses. I agree with you. The last month is important for his job security. You could win two games, and it could look totally different. You could get smoked in all four games, and it could look totally different. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't think Robert Kraft has made up his mind 100% yet. I think he has a preference now, but I don't think it's a done deal either way.
So maybe Robert hasn't said anything to him.
Right.
You know, he's just waiting. Let's see how this goes.
The last month of the year is about more than just the results on the field. They could lose all four games, and he could save his job if they're competitive and they look like they're on the upswing and he's not sticking his foot in his mouth every week and the secondary market for season tickets, or tickets rather, isn't cratering. If that continues to crater and, you know, you have what happened with the Giants. What if you have what happened with the Giants this last weekend? Somebody's flying a plane over the stadium or something like that and it's a disaster, right?
Yeah.
And Mayo is constantly screwing up from a PR standpoint in front of the podium and you have more of that in the last month? Then I think Robert might go, look, I know what I said, and I was high on Gerard Mayo, and I compared it to, when I was getting married. I compared it to my wives.
Yeah.
But I can't do this again. It's too much of a disaster. So, no, I think it could cut either way. I would just point out it's not just about on the field. That's a big factor.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other factors to it. How much of a clown show does this turn into in the final month?
So they're on the road this week, they're on the road next week, and then they finish the season back-to-back home games. So you could be 3-12, and it's a Sunday afternoon, what would that be, in between Christmas and New Year's. Mm-hmm. It's like, you want to go spend your 3 hours watching a 3-12 team play the Chargers?
Nope.
Like that could be pretty sparse. There might be some Christmas presents that people are giving away. Season ticket holders should be giving away their tickets for Christmas.
And like
this year.
I said, I mean, I don't know. Like, how far are we away from what happened with the Maras in New York? Somebody's flying a plane over the stadium saying, Robert Kraft, do something. Like, how far are we away from that? That's a public embarrassment for ownership.
He's going to maybe get his chopper up in the air to block anybody from coming over. Just hold the chopper up all the whole game.
It's a good point. John Henry just saved a bunch of money on Juan Soto. So maybe he could, him and Kraft aren't exactly besties. So we could jump in on that. Speaking of that, Mark in Bedford is waiting patiently on the Juan Soto discussion. Go ahead, Mark.
All right, Mark.
So it was pretty obvious, I guess, that Soto was going to go to whoever offered him the most money. So if Toronto was serious in getting Juan Soto and they offered him $800 million, do you think he would have took the trip to Toronto instead of the Mets?
Lodged pretty snugly.
They have a way about themselves right now. But real quick on Soto, I do feel like he was the highest bidder.
Me too.
So if it was... Now, here's the question, though. Do the Blue Jays go to 800? Do they allow the Mets to go to 801?
Correct.
Because I feel like the Mets would have gone to 801.
Would Boris shop it back? But to answer his question...
Highest bidder.
If the Blue Jays had the highest offer, would Soto have gone to Toronto? Yes.
I think so. I think so, too. My guess would be that, yeah.
Well, based on his track record, he's on his fourth team.
And what he has said publicly, hiring Boris, and how this ended. This isn't a situation where we found out a day later, the Yankees actually offered the most. Oh, no, or the Dodgers actually. No. The team that offered the most is where he went.
Correct.
So there you go.
So, yeah, I think if that were the Red Sox, I think if that were the Blue Jays, Dodgers, whoever offered the most money, that was where he was going to wind up. And we are not giving the Red Sox any credit. I guess I gave them the D- for at least playing the game this year, where they didn't even play the game with Ohtani last year.
I don't know what's worse, getting your fans' hopes up or not getting them up at all, because their end result's the same.
Well, if they do nothing, this is worse, Keith.
Okay.
If they do nothing, and I mean they don't land a big fish, they don't land, however you define that, Burns, Fried, Sasaki, Bregman, Pete Alonso, you know, if they don't land somebody like that in free agency, I think it has to be free agency, not a trade.
So free agency, according to MLB.com, so everybody's got their own list, the top five free agents are Juan Soto,
gone.
Corbin Burns.
Out there.
Sasaki.
Available.
Blake Snell.
Gone.
Alex Bregman.
Available.
So if you get Burns and Bregman, I'm with you. Then you're going to be like, okay, good offseason.
So the Red Sox can still have a successful offseason. I'm not giving them any credit.
No.
But they could still have a successful offseason, and I think a lot of fans, and I would, a lot of fans would forgive not landing Soto at the end of the day if you go out and still spend. But you have to go out and still spend. My preference was Soto, but I've said all along, there's merit to They need pitching.
A bunch of different ways to attack it.
And there's another way to go about it. So they still need to spend. We know their budget was $700 million this offseason. We know it. So go
it just
spend
feels
some
like
of that money.
We're heading down the wrong path because they were reportedly in on Blake Snell and didn't get him. They were obviously reportedly in on Juan Soto, didn't get him. They, for some reason, were in on Willy Adames, which I don't even know why they would be. More position changes going on there, but whatever. He's another top 10 or was a top 10 free agent, but they didn't get him. So the one guy they've gotten so far is Aroldis Chapman on a one-year deal, and we're supposed to think, like, hey, maybe this will be a good offseason?
I don't know if you're supposed to think it necessarily. I just...
you want to. Like, if you're being rumored... Like, this... They were trying to make it feel like the Red Sox of old, where, like, you didn't get Mark Teixeira,
so
but you were in it to the bitter end.
The Yankees get nobody, too. So like, the Yankees and Red Sox are finalists for Max Fried. Why do you think the Yankees are going to get him and not the Red Sox? Both those teams were runners-up for Juan Soto. Hal Steinbrenner does not pay.
They offered more. They were just in the World Series. They've had far fewer missed playoff seasons than the Red Sox have had. I know the Red Sox have had more World Series.
Yeah, but
so that's good.
We're talking about spending. So they made a better offer to Soto. Fair point.
They got Soto originally.
But
they
also
made a trade and got him.
But they also didn't land him at the
end
of the day.
That's
so
true.
Okay, the Red Sox just have to outbid the Yankees, who also kind of get nobody.
Yeah.
They paid Judge a year ago. You paid Devers. So, like, the Yankees kind of get nobody these days. So let's see. You have to follow through and do it. And by the way, Rob Bradford, WEEI. You can read what he has up there on the website. You can check out the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast, Odyssey app. The Red Sox will turn to using some of their resources.
All right. Yeah, keep the rest.
Because, again, it was around $700 million that they offered to Soto, around, according to Sean McAdam. They'll use some of the resources not spent on Soto to make plays for other high-priced free agents, such as Max Fried and Corbin Burns, along with Teoscar Hernandez. But, per sources, one of the players the Red Sox might immediately be prioritizing, Alex Bregman.
How do you feel about Bregman?
I like it. I like that he has a winning pedigree.
Yeah, but he's 30 plus, 31 plus,
Can
whatever.
I give you another thing I love
he's
about it?
He's on the back nine.
Unless he's playing second base, and Tomasi has hinted that maybe Bregman would be open to playing second base. Unless he's playing second base, it moves Devers off of third, which I also desperately think needs to happen.
Yeah.
So trading for Arenado, I'm less crazy about. I didn't realize his numbers had dropped off as much as they had.
Yeah. Well, he's even way older than
Bregman. I like the idea of moving Devers, though. So Bregman, to me, is two things. It's a winning player. It's spending money. And I guess the third part is moving Devers off a third where he shouldn't play.
Yeah.
He doesn't play well. He's not a fit there. He's not a third baseman. He's really a DH. If you're going to tell me he can play some first base, fine. But now you're moving some dominoes. I love the Bregman signing, but...
Potential signing.
If they did it, right.
Yeah.
But on its own, is that enough? No, they would still need to add an arm.
Bregman last year hit 260 with 26 home runs, 75 RBI, and an OPS of 768,
that's
which is
great.
The lowest of his career.
Not great. And that's in a contract year.
Right. I think he's good, but like I don't think he is what he was. He had a run there when they were in and like right around the World Series, like 18 and 19. Mid-20s, it looked like he was going to be a guy that was like next-level MVP candidate year in and year out. And he hasn't, but he's been good. So, like, he's an upgrade, and I'll take him. And then you're right, that sort of bumps guys around. Does Devers just become the DH? Can you trade Yoshida? Because you've already said he can't play in the outfield.
Right.
So now you have a backup DH making whatever, however many million he is. Which is fine. Like, I'm not saying, oh, you can't bring in Bregman because you have, like, a log jam. Like, no, get the best players. I'm all for getting the best players and then figuring it out. But, like, Soto and Burns are so head and shoulders, the best position player, best pitcher, that after that, Bregman probably is towards the top of the list, but it is a little bit of, like, a, okay. Like, he's closer to Trevor Story than I want him to be. Like,
yeah.
When they signed Trevor Story, I was like,
I'd
really?
Acknowledge that.
Like,
it's,
yeah.
It's closer to Trevor Story. I like Bregman.
Bregman's peak years were mid-team
scandal. I think Bregman,
ooh.
Well, that's a fair point, too. That's
he
a fair point, too.
He led the league in walks. He was second and fifth in MVP voting those 2 years.
That makes him a fit with Cora.
I was going to say reunited with Cora.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
they unlock something.
Yeah.
All right.
Good
maybe,
fit.
Maybe he'll work with him.
Yeah, spin it that way.
This is insane.
Yeah, you need,
so,
need Cora is what he needs.
2019. He walked, you ready for this? 119 times.
Nice.
Do you know how many times?
Later, it was like 40.
He walked 44 times this year.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, he's getting more aggressive, Keith.
Is that what it is?
He doesn't want to be a three-outcome player,
Got
Keith.
It. Yeah, that's what it is.
He also had 41
bombs. For the good of the sport,
Keith. 41 bombs!
For the good of the sport.
Yeah.
It seems like an outlier year.
Super clean.
If we do this, like he knew what pitch was coming.
If we're doing this
he
in 20,
100% did.
If we're doing this in 20 years and he's a random baseball player of the day, we're going to be looking at it going, what happened that year?
What happened to Bregman?
So speaking of what happened.
Yeah, let's find out.
We'll take you back through the Chiefs result last night. I know Mark and Medford all fired up about it. Are the Chiefs lucky? Or are they good? We'll also get to the Bills and Rams yesterday. Josh Allen and the Bills lose in advance of a big game against the Lions. Plus, later on this hour, we're going to have more details on Bill Belichick and the University of North Carolina. Florio says Bill's stunned the phone isn't ringing from the NFL. And this may be the best offer he has, which shocks me. So we can get to that later on this hour. We'll take you back through week 14, a bye week for the New England Patriots. What happened right after...
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Trending with Billy Lane.
Couldn't sit on the couch all day? Well, we've got you covered with
What Happened?
On Jones and Keefe.
Let's get right into it, Jones. Week 14 in the NFL. No Patriots, no problem. They were one of six teams on the bye. Plenty of good football, including maybe the game of the year, some are calling it, Bills and Rams.
Hey, what happened?
They blitz. Stafford sees it. It's a block. He might go.
Puka Nacua, a couple of touchdowns in the game. The Rams had to hold off the Bills, who had a good comeback effort in a 44-42 loss to the Rams in L.A. The Bills scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. Rams improved to 7-6 on the year. The Bills dropped to 10-3.
So how do you look at that game yesterday? Do you look at it as... it's hard to put the Bills away. Josh Allen accounted for six touchdowns. That's an example of the Bills' firepower. Or do you look at it and go, ooh.
They're beatable.
They might be beatable. They might not be a true Super Bowl contender.
I think they're beatable. I think some of the doubts about, like, Sean McDermott, I think, can certainly, you know, crop back up. I don't think he's a great coach. And maybe if Josh Allen's ever going to win it, maybe it won't be with Sean McDermott. So I think about stuff like that. Also, aren't they playing the Lions this week?
So they play at... Well, so this is what I was going to say.
I wonder if they were thinking a little bit about the Lions.
So I think it was a look ahead. I'll tell you. We'll get to another game. We talked about upsets. This is my runner-up upset because I was like, the Bills could be looking ahead.
Yeah.
My other upset was not even close.
Mm.
But obviously, if they beat Detroit, they go right back into contender status.
Oh, they're still great. I think it also might say,
you lose this
Rams.
Game and you lose in Detroit. Eh. No, I'm with you.
I think it might be good for Rams.
It tells you what the Rams were missing. When they look at... Nacua.
Or yeah, Kappa the sick catch, but then Nacua had a game and
I
a
mean,
half.
Look at what he did yesterday in that game. He was a force.
And Stafford looked good.
So they're so different with those two guys. They didn't have them. They feel like they're getting hot at the right time.
Is that your team to win the West? Was that your team all along, the Rams?
Yes.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good for them,
well,
I think.
I mean, another team in the division won yesterday, but
Speaking of the division, the AFC East. What about the Jets and the Dolphins?
What happened?
This game was so good, Jones. It went to overtime.
Good time to the end zone. Got it. Smith, touchdown. The Dolphins win.
That's right. That weapon, Jonnu Smith.
Did he not have a catch in regulation?
I don't think he did.
I don't believe he had a catch in regulation and then caught like everything in overtime.
He was a machine in overtime. Tyreek Hill had a good game. 10 catches, 115 yards, and a touchdown. Dolphins get to 6-7. Hanging around in the hunt. Hashtag in the hunt.
They are in the hunt.
The New York Jets, however, have been officially eliminated from the playoffs. They are 3-10. That record sounds familiar. It should. Patriots and Jets, both 3-10. Aaron Rodgers does go for over 300 yards. He hasn't done that in a long time.
No, I think the way they put it on the Pro Football Talk website is Rodgers passes his first test as a cameo for other teams next year. Because now that he's out in New York, he is officially open for business with other teams, and he played well yesterday.
But it was a must win for the Dolphins. They couldn't afford at this point to lose to the Jets and still have a chance. So they at least hang around a little bit more.
Does it feel like they figured a little something? They've gotten Waddle back involved.
Well,
Hill had a big game. It feels like they've figured out a little bit. I mean, they almost lost to the Jets, but offensively, they look more like themselves.
Well, it's not just the McDaniel-McVay thing, but no wide receivers for the Rams. They look like a mess. Now they look good again. When Tua was out for a stretch, they were awful. And then when he came back, they weren't good right away. But now that he is, they're scoring points. So, like, both of them are playing a lot better. Unfortunately for the Dolphins, they're not in a winnable division because of the Bills, whereas the Rams, they could tread water and still come back and win. Speaking of that division, next week's opponent for the New England Patriots is the Arizona Cardinals. They were taking on the Seahawks.
What happened?
This one was all Seahawks.
On a give, Charbonnet. Pushed out and more. Charbonnet turning on the Jets. Charbonnet takes it to the house. Touchdown, Seahawks. 51 yards.
Woo! 134 yards on the ground. Two touchdowns for Zach Charbonnet, who may have won you a fantasy matchup this weekend. Seahawks beat the Cardinals 30-18. So the Seahawks improved to 8-5. They are in the top spot in the NFC West. The Cardinals, who was my pick, I thought frisky Kyler Murray would get it done. But at 6-7, they do have a very winnable game against the Patriots coming up.
Yeah, pencil them in for one.
7-7, they got their work kind of cut out for them now.
So
they needed this one. They were at home.
Seattle's now 8-5 on top of the division. That's what I was referencing when I said the Rams should come out of that division. I mean, in theory, they could both sneak in, I guess. But
yeah,
Seattle's better than I gave them credit for way back early in the year. This is a more winnable. Doesn't mean they'll win it. But Arizona's looking like a more winnable game. Cardinals have dropped 3 in a row.
Yeah.
They have a negative scoring differential. They're not playing great. I mean, they're still more talented than the Patriots. They're better than the Patriots. They should beat the Patriots. But that's more winnable than it looked a few weeks ago.
We'll probably get into this more as the week goes on, but Marvin Harrison Jr., who many of us, myself included, really, really like coming out of college, 45 catches, 655 yards.
Stinks.
7 touchdowns.
Like, that's a Kyler problem.
That's stinky.
He's always open.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm with Nick on
okay.
this.
It's Malik, a Kyler
okay.
problem.
Malik Neighbors,
dude.
Malik Neighbors is a worse quarterback and is way more productive, and he missed time.
They give him a little dink routes.
Well, I mean,
he had Daniel Jones and Drew Locke.
Little dink routes.
He had Tommy Cutlets
still
in there.
To throw him the ball.
Dude, Cutlets can play.
Okay. I like Cutlets the best out of those three.
I don't like Cutlets.
But, like, you can't just blame
that.
The quarterback, is my point. Malik Neighbors has worse quarterback play. He's way better.
I still want Marvin Harrison.
I don't.
I'll still take him.
I don't.
Sunday Night Football prime time. Everybody's
what
waiting
happened?
For Sunday night. It was the Chiefs and the Chargers. We already had a caller mention how the Chiefs have a horseshoe directly up their candy ass.
Yep.
And they're down to their third kicker, Jones. Their third kicker. But apparently he's good, too. Right, calm down, Tarico.
Yeah, seriously.
You knew they were going to win. They win every game. Relax.
I don't like that all the announcers try to make doink happen after the fact.
No.
Like, that was
there could only be one doink.
That
his name was Matt Bourne. He wrestled in the 90s for the WWF. Rest in peace. That's the real doink.
Doink the Clown.
Yeah, Doink the Clown.
Yeah.
Who was a heel. He was a bad clown.
Look, I'm not a wrestling guy, but this is
Doink.
This is a reference from about 10 years ago that you would make constantly that I am aware of.
He was in the Survivor Series, and he wrestled with Dink, Wink, and Pink. They fought Jerry Lawler and his crew. Billy knows what I'm talking about.
Billy definitely knows.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. But Doink no longer with us. There was
little people dressed as clown and little people dressed as kings.
Mm. Yep. And they wrestled.
Nice.
That was WWF in the 90s. That's what you have there. But the Chiefs are 12-1. Chargers are 8-5.
I don't like the announcers trying to pounce on the organic double doink. Like, it felt a little forced from Tarico.
He was pumped about that.
He was really excited.
Chiefs money line late or something. Live bet.
Yeah, something like that.
Dude was pumped.
Are the Chiefs lucky or are they good?
They are both.
Okay.
They're
more,
both.
What are they more of?
I'm going to say good because you
too.
Have Patrick Mahomes.
If they were just doing this and they hadn't won all the Super Bowls,
they've already won. They have the best coach and quarterback. So, like, okay.
They are lucky. They're lucky.
Yeah.
But they're more good than lucky based on their track record the last few years is how I feel about it. But last night felt especially absurd.
I still think the Chargers are a playoff team at 8-5. Oh, yeah. They're right in it to the end. This game is in Kansas City. But, yeah, 12-1 are the Chiefs. So that was a big swing for the number one seed and the only bye in the playoffs. Bills, even though they have the head-to-head with the Chiefs, the Bills are 10-3.
Yeah,
so and the Chiefs are 12-1.
Yeah, so they're what? Chiefs have some breathing room now.
The Chiefs need to lose twice, and then the Bills have to win out. So going back,
and the Bills
to,
again play the Lions this week,
and the Bills also
in
play,
Detroit.
Yeah, and they play the Patriots twice. Meaning, if, let's say they lose to the Lions. Well, now they might have to fight for like the two seed. So maybe they will have something on the line. There's also a chance there's nothing to play for in the final week of the season. They might just lay down and die and, like, give the Patriots the game.
Yeah.
Especially without a bye. They're playing the next week. They can't change their seeding.
Are the Patriots good enough to take it?
We'll see.
They might not be.
I mean, Mac Jones beat the Bills, didn't he?
True. So that was when the Bills were trying.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there's a chance. All right, well, the AFC North, you had the Browns and the Steelers.
What happened?
Well, I put the Steelers on upset watch, Jones, and for good reason.
Second and 10. Down the middle.
Yeah, they had no problem. They beat the Browns 27-14. Pat Freiermuth with that touchdown. The Pittsburgh Steelers are now 10-3. The Cleveland Browns are 3-10.
I was hoping for more Jameis magic in that game yesterday.
There wasn't a lot of
He beat the Steelers
magic
in the snow a few weeks ago. He was fun on, was it Monday Night Football against the Broncos a week ago? Less fun there. It's a good win for Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Just in that.
Nice job.
They didn't have Pickens. Like, Pickens was supposed to play in the game. He was a late scratch. Who the hell knows what's going on with that guy?
A wild man.
So that's another check mark for Tomlin and the decision to go to Russell Wilson and getting the most out of the team. They have, like, one real NFL wide receiver.
Yeah.
He didn't even play, and they still won that game going away.
You want to know a wild stat?
Yes.
So the Cleveland Browns are 3-10.
Okay.
They have the, as of this very moment, they would have the 8th pick in the draft.
There's so many bad teams.
The Patriots are 3-10.
Yeah.
And would currently have the 3rd pick in the draft.
Yeah.
So
big ups to Mac Jones yesterday.
Big swing, though. So you have all those teams that are, you have two teams that are 2-11, right? You have the Raiders and the Giants, which we'll get to. They're the two worst teams. But then everybody else. So, I mean, that is a giant swing, depending on these final four games can go, if you are looking at the draft. Speaking of those bad teams, you had two of them going head-to-head, Jacksonville and Tennessee.
What happened?
They give it to Bixby. Trying the left side. Had the 5. Stiff arm. Touchdown. The tank for 6.
Yeah, I don't know where he was going with that. The tank for 6.
I think it went okay. I didn't know where he was going either. But
something else, like a tank, like, you know, rolling over you or something with, like, gunfire.
Maybe he thought about going there and the PC world,
like
out
Brad
there.
Brad Pitt and Shia LaBeouf in the film Fury. The tank rolls up. Something.
Unlike Michael Dukakis.
So both of those crap teams are 3-10. My guy, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, who we had in the Bozo touchdown parlay, dropped a catch in the end zone.
He can't.
No. And so 10-6 is your final in that one. Jaguars scored all 10 of their points in the fourth quarter.
Did you see the Mac picks? They were both, brutal. The first one.
But win is a win.
The first one, I really didn't think could go much worse than the first one. Yeah. And then the one right before halftime, he like spun out of a sack and just chucked it right to linebacker safety, whoever it was.
Those teams deserve each other.
Two pathetic interceptions. But you just said the Patriots moved up to the number 3 pick as of today.
Thank you, Mac
because
Jones.
Of that Jaguars win and Mac Jones. Yes.
It's a big win. What about the Raiders and the Broncos?
Hey, what happened?
Well, my guy Baker Mayfield lighting it up again.
Mayfield goes underneath, gets it to McMillan, and he is going to stroll in for the Tampa Bay touchdown.
How do you like that? McMillan, part of the Washington triumvirate of receivers who were drafted. 2 touchdowns in the game.
Yeah.
Jalen Polka's 2 on the season.
Let me tell you.
Which also seems high. Isn't that amazing? Jalen Polka's 2 touchdowns?
Yeah. 2 guys, pretty productive over the weekend for the University of Washington. The other guy off, but something tells me he wouldn't have been productive anyway. But no,
that's
Tampa
true.
Bay, since they've gotten weapons back, they're now on top of the division, right? Atlanta will get 2.
Yes, we will.
But Tampa on top of the division. The Raiders, I think, are the worst team in football. It's tough. It's them or the Giants who will also
11.
Get 2, but I think they're the worst team in football.
And bad news for the Raiders as Aiden O'Connell went down, paving the way for Desmond Ridder.
Right, because Gardner Minshew's done
the
Riddler.
Year. Yeah.
And now O'Connell's done, it sounds like, for a long time. So you get Desmond.
Do you know who their leading running back was
yesterday?
Yeah,
I only do because I had him on the bench in fantasy. But yes, it was Sincere McCormick.
Sincere McCormick.
Yeah. A buddy of mine texted me, that sounds like a made up Madden name. That sounds like Sincere McCormick.
Correct. Yeah. I just recruited him in College Football 25. let's go to the Bears and the 49ers. Well, yet another new running back for the 49ers, but same old production.
First and goal into the end zone. Correcto, his second touchdown today.
That was our waiver wire pick of the week last week. Yeah. Got a couple of scores, 78 yards on the ground.
Some of us faced him and knocked us out of the fantasy playoffs.
It happens. It giveth and it taketh away. The 49ers blow out the Bears 38-13. Brock Purdy was back. He was over 300 yards, a couple of touchdowns. San Francisco, though, 6-7. Looking up in that division, the Bears fall to 4-9, 0-6 outside of Chicago.
That was your upset special was the Browns. This was my upset special.
Didn't happen.
It was.
Bears didn't have it.
Shockingly even less competitive than
everybody
that other game.
Was like, what a great tribute to Matt Eberflus to make it look like he's still there.
Didn't they have like 2 yards at the half?
They had no yards.
No yards. No, they showed a graphic. It was like 302-2. It was like something unbelievable.
They had a hard time moving it.
Yeah.
Maybe it wasn't all Shane Waldron's fault. Maybe not. I don't know.
Maybe not.
All right. What about the aforementioned Atlanta Falcons versus the Minnesota Vikings?
What happened?
Well, it was the Kirk Cousins Bowl, but it was the other quarterback who had a monster day.
Second and goal. Darnold looking for his fifth touchdown pass of the day. Addison gets his third.
Sam Darnold, 5 touchdown passes, 3 to Jordan Addison, 2 to Justin Jefferson, as the Vikings blow out the Falcons 42-21. Minnesota's 11-2. Falcons fall to 6-7. And after the game, Justin Jefferson was saying how he and Addison are the best wide receiver duo in the NFL.
They're not.
And I'd never really even considered them. I think they're up there, though, because Jefferson, to me, individually is the best.
Yeah.
So that automatically is going to move the rankings up. I don't think they're number one, but they probably should be in the top 5. Addison's had a good year.
Addison's been on a heater, too. Remember, like, a month and a half ago, he had that weird tweet where he was like, free 3 or something like that?
Free 3.
And people thought he wanted out of Minnesota. We were talking about him as maybe a flyer here in New England.
No.
I think he's going to be there. Two quarterback questions for you, Keith.
Please hit me.
Number one, should the Vikings pay Darnold? He was a 1-year, $10 million deal. They drafted J.J. McCarthy.
No.
They shouldn't.
No. They got Kevin O'Connell. They'll figure out the next quarterback. Kirk Cousins look good with the Vikings. Sam Darnold looks good with the Vikings. I never would have taken McCarthy, but they did. So in this scenario, I would just play McCarthy. Let Sam Darnold shop around. He's not going to get a huge deal. Some dumb team maybe, but if he doesn't, we'll bring you back.
I agree. He's not going to get a huge deal, you should give him that deal. Minnesota, you know he works.
Oh, well, I guess it depends on how free he is.
Let's see.
I mean, I'd bring him back, but I'm not going to invest much in him. I think Kevin O'Connell might be like one of these guys that can get any quarterback to play well for.
Yeah, trust me, I don't really believe in Sam Darnold, but I'd probably run it back with him if I were the Vikings. Number two.
Yes.
Does Kirk Cousins finish the year in Atlanta?
He should not.
I'm not sure he should finish that out. They have crashed and burned.
He's been real bad.
My Falcons have crashed and burned.
he was atrocious 2 weeks ago.
0 touchdowns, 8 picks, I want to say,
Something like that, yeah.
It's like they had a graphic during the game of like basically cutting the season in half and just what, like, he's fallen off a cliff. He's been a disaster.
Yeah, and they invested a lot in Penix. So I think Cousins starts again this week, but I don't think he finishes the year either.
All right, what about this barn burner? Saints and Giants.
Hey, what happened?
Well, Saints were up 14-11 late in the game. Giants lining up for a 35-yard field goal to try to tie it.
Prior to the snap, Gillen the hold. The kick, no good.
Horrible call. It was blocked. No, I watched that like 5 times. I'm like, he's like, no good. I'm like, oh, it got blocked.
Yeah, the guy. Brian Breeze, whatever, jumped
completely over the center.
Yeah, didn't touch anyone.
Didn't touch anybody.
I watched it live. I'm like, he must have pushed off on somebody.
No. Nope.
Clean.
Just a freak show.
Clean as could be.
He was great. He was a good prospect out of Clemson. But
Giant looked confused. Dayball was standing there with his hands in the air.
But your guy, Darren Rizzi, another win.
Another win. You see him air. Oh, we were talking about this before the show. I don't believe you saw this live.
I didn't.
So they gave up a punt return touchdown that was called back.
Yeah. He's, of course, a special teams guy.
When I say he aired out this punter, I mean, it was uncomfortable. He was screaming.
He
it's
was
like
subhuman.
Dude, there was a flag on the play. They called it back. Like, you're chill out a little bit.
You're good.
He didn't like it. Hollering at this poor punter.
Attention to detail is what I would say for him. So he gets the win. The Saints are 5-8. The Giants are 2-11, 0-7 at home.
Yeah.
So the New York football teams, Jones, are 5-21.
Nice. The Jets and Giants are 5-21.
Giants fans are flying planes over the stadium, to which I said earlier, I wonder how far Patriots fans are away from that.
Planes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you have the means,
sell the team, if you have the fire means, the coach, that sort of thing.
Oh, good job by Terp. He's found the video. Look at he's losing his mind.
This got called back.
Yeah, you're good.
Look at him.
Then the punter's like, yeah, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Kamara's like, hey, Riz, get it out of the way.
Dude, yeah, Kamara's like, guys.
Kamara's like,
calm down.
Kamara screwed me on a parlay. I don't know what he's so happy about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You screwed you. I thought you were
screwed
talking about the punter.
Me.
No, I know you're.
The punter. I mean, maybe the punter had a parlay going. Who's to say? Maybe he did. Maybe that was the point. Maybe Rizzy realized he was shaving points.
Yeah, some of us needed Kamara in fantasy yesterday. Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to the Eagles and the Panthers. Well, I will say MVP season for Saquon Barkley continued.
It is a give to Saquon Barkley, and Barkley passes LeSean McCoy. The all-time single-season rushing leader in Philadelphia Eagles history, it is now Saquon Barkley.
With four games to go.
Yeah, he's got some time.
Four games to go to pad his stats. Saquon Barkley had 124 yards rushing. He now has over 1,600 yards. So he is on pace to smash 2,000. Like, I would, like, soar. He's projected for 2,000.
Is he still on pace to break Dickerson's record? I know he was right on it going into yesterday. 21-20.
I don't know what the Dickerson record is, but 21-22 is what he is projected
okay,
for.
Okay, so he's right there. He's neck and neck with it.
Okay. And this was a close game. Panthers had a chance, but the Eagles got a 22-16 win, so they are 11-2. And Carolina joins that big pile of awful teams at 3-10.
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
We said and joked about the Red Sox getting an A-plus for effort in their pursuit of Juan Soto. I might give Carolina an A-plus for
like
effort these
doing?
Last few weeks.
Bryce Young,
I mean,
he's
Young
a gamer.
Put the ball in Leggett's hands. He drops it for the go-ahead touchdown.
Oh, Young might be the guy.
He gave them the lead the last 2 weeks against Kansas City and Tampa.
Yeah, they've had a tough schedule. And
like,
they've been so close.
You know, I'm sure if this were the Patriots, I'd be ripping them for choking all these games away, but I kind of want to give them an A-plus for effort.
Probably. And then Monday Night Football, Bengals, Cowboys. Bengals, of course, if you listen to our Tier Tuesday last week, not frisky enough.
No.
Cowboys are the trash bin. They were down there. But
they might have been not. No, they might have been shooketh.
Here's the exciting part about this game.
Yes.
Right? Unless you have fantasy implications or you got like a big old bet, couple hams on it. Simpsons broadcast.
Yes.
You guys in on Simpsons broadcast?
Well, I was until I heard one detail.
Toy Story one last year.
Yeah.
Which one?
The Toy Story one they did last year.
Oh, yeah. That
I
was
think
cool.
It was like Falcons, Jaguars, maybe.
It was. That was like a London game? No. I feel like it was early up.
I think it was.
With nothing else on. I remember watching that Toy Story game. What's the problem with the Simpsons broadcast?
One detail. I think Drew Carter's going to be on the broadcast.
So you're not going to watch it?
Well,
it's more about what it looks like than what it sounds like.
Isn't it? Well,
it's a little bit what it sounds like. It's animation.
Wasn't the idea to market this to kids? They're going to do it during Monday Night Football?
Yeah.
Like, that seems odd.
Kids, stay up. It's going to be an 8:30 kickoff.
Although it's The Simpsons. I guess you're probably not marketing to children
where,
anymore.
Where I think tomorrow they'll have it on, like, Disney Plus where you can watch it anytime.
Terp maybe. Showing it. You know what it's got? It kind of reminds you. Remember some of the episodes of Treehouse of Horrors where they would, like, 3D them?
Yeah.
And, like, that's what it looks like.
It does.
I live from Springfield. I'm all in. Bengals. It's Cowboys.
It's a shame.
It's Cooper Rush.
Oh, man. CeeDee Lamb just looked pissed.
Yeah, well, yeah. That could be what
he's very accurate.
He might not even, like, who knows
it's
what he's
going to do.
Very,
very accurate.
I'm excited for that.
I really enjoyed the Toy Story one for some reason.
Well, again,
Toy Story one was great.
Again, that was properly marketed to children. It was on during the day. Although, as I say this, The Simpsons aren't really marketing to kids anymore. That's marketing to
not
people
really.
Like us. So I guess it makes sense.
One of my favorite Christmas tree decorations, that Christmas tree we showed last week, the little one, the short thin one that I have.
Mm.
One of my favorite ornaments, Mo Sizlak. Just Mo sitting there with his arms crossed.
Nice.
That's all it is. It's a great ornament.
Just sitting there.
I think he's my favorite character on the whole show.
I like it. So that is what happened.
That was it.
Week 14 of the NFL.
Where
Patriots
does the
bye
season
week.
Go?
We'll get back into the Red Sox, their pursuit of Juan Soto, A-plus for effort, according to one industry source. What's up their sleeve? We're going to talk to Rob Bradford. Coming up less than an hour from now, we'll get his thoughts on the Red
Sox. Live from the winter meetings, Bradfo.
How did they handle this? How much credit should we give them? And what's next now that they've struck out on Juan Soto? And speaking of striking out, Bill Belichick, apparently his phone is not ringing from the NFL. He is, quote-unquote, very surprised about that. And the interest in North Carolina is supposedly real. Let's get into that with all your phone calls next. All those teams with vacancies. And Jeremy Fowler just listed them all.
And a guy who was a very active listener.
Yeah, who
on the
was
other
that?
End of that?
I'm not
good
sure.
Good Lord,
that was.
Sir.
Gary Streisky?
Over-unders on
OK. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was on Sports.
Uh-huh. What else you got there?
Yep.
All right. Thank you. There's some good info in there. I was just very distracted by the
it's like the annoying, like, it's the visual of an interview where they just cut to the person interviewing you and they just nodding
everything. Yeah, everything
is the audio version of that.
It's like the opposite of Keith and I when you're watching on Twitch.tv. There's just a lot of smirking and
blank stares.
Staring off into space.
Yeah, there's less...
watching X-Men Days of Future Past behind you. That's what I got on today.
Less fake interest and nodding.
Yeah.
So there are vacancies he can talk to some of these openings. It's interesting that he could bring Steve Belichick with him, maybe make him the head coach in waiting at the University of North Carolina. That was reported late last week or over the weekend.
That's like the lamest thing, honestly. Like but that also makes me think maybe there is a little bit of truth to, like, maybe he actually would take the job. I never thought he would. When that first came out, I'm like, they're both using each other and whatever.
He wouldn't if he had options. If he had options, he would not be doing this.
True.
He doesn't have options.
But I didn't even think he would do that. Meaning, like, he would just do another year of 8 TV jobs and not coach college. I thought that would be like...
College would still be beneath
would
him.
Would still not
Fair
happen.
Point.
Fair
but
point. But now it's like, oh, I could give my kid that job. Listen, we've talked about nepotism in all sports and all jobs. Like, it comes up here and there. It's one thing to have your kid on the staff. It's your staff. Fill out the staff any way you want. Maybe the kid ends up being good.
It's another...
Kyle Shanahan's a kid. Like,
it's another to leverage the university into, hey, I'll come here, but
then he's going to be your next head coach.
You have to make my kid the coach.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Would you even want that?
It's classic Bill.
Like, if you're Steve...
If I were Steve, would I want that? No.
Because, like, you better be really good or you're not. It was like, Dad, not only did Daddy get you, nobody even wanted... Like, nobody hired you on, like, your merit.
I don't even know if Steve Belichick wants to coach football. I don't even know if he likes coaching football. He might have just been forced into it from a young age. Like, I have no idea.
Sure. This is what
you
I
even
do.
Know?
I have no idea.
I have no clue if he even likes coaching football. Never mind.
But
like,
what a weird
detail. My dad makes me coach. And I have to coach on defense.
I'm the
and
head
my
coach
dad
in North Carolina.
He might not even want it.
How did this happen to me?
Right. Meanwhile, his dad's chasing tail all over the campus.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
So,
yeah, that would be scary for the co-eds.
So Florio had this item.
If you had a daughter that was college age,
my answer's already no.
Would you not send her to North Carolina? I'd be like, you can't go to North Carolina. She's like, Dad, I've always wanted to go to North Carolina. Look over my dead body.
Yeah.
Go anywhere
I thought
else.
You were
going
to ask something much more direct than that. But no. you wouldn't even let her go to North Carolina.
I don't want to take that chance.
Yeah, forget the state.
I'm terrified.
Or forget the college. Not even the state.
I have a 5 and a 2-year-old right now. So what, 15 years from now, I got to be worried about this?
Yeah.
Still with Bill, probably?
It's true.
Just keep me up at night.
Right.
It's a horrible thought.
Your grandchildren, your granddaughters have
to
be worried about Steve
death.
Belichick. So I guess Florio had this item last night on Football Night in America. I'll be honest, I missed this during pregame, but he reiterated today in print. He says, former Patriots coach Bill Belichick made headlines last week by making a connection to the vacancy at North Carolina. He's, by the way, has reportedly had multiple interviews now. Pete Thamel said he also had an interview in New York, so not just on Zoom.
Okay.
He is, by all appearances, serious about the possibility of coaching at the college level. There's a reason or two for it. As explained during Sunday Night Football, Belichick, I'm told, is quote-unquote very surprised he has yet to hear from NFL teams about coaching in 2025. And I saw the Twitch chat when we teased this going to break. Oh, what? He's very surprised that he hasn't gotten any calls? No jobs are open. Wrong.
3 of them are open.
Jets, Saints, Bears, all open. They could all talk to him right now. And you know how this works. You talk through back channels about the jobs that are available and aren't available. Like, please. And so,
he's not employed, so teams could talk to him about whatever, right?
Yes.
Like, they could, I mean, you could.
Even, you don't think he was talking through back channels last year as the head coach of the New England Patriots in the final month of the year? Of course he was.
Right.
Of course he was.
Gerard Mayo was hired 5 years before
Thank
he
you.
Got the job.
Thank you. So, you can believe Florio or not believe him, but he says he's told Belichick is very surprised teams aren't interested in him for coaching in 2025.
Yeah, I don't know why he's so surprised, because he just went through it last year, and you're a year removed, and maybe he thought, all right, I'll do all this stuff that I don't really want to do. I'll go on Pat McAfee to look like I'm cooler and younger. I'll go on the Manning cast, and I'll be able to, like, call out plays, and people could be like, oh, this guy's still, he's still a great coach. He just needs another chance. There were 8 jobs last year. He went to the Falcons for an interview. That was it. And to me, North Carolina is kind of the Falcons of college.
Yes.
Like, I would think Bill would go to, like, a marquee place or, like, a Super Bowl winner that needs a coach, Or if he, for some reason, went to college, which I never in a million years thought that he would.
He'd get a better gig.
It'd be Ohio State, Michigan, Texas, whatever.
Saban went to college and got Alabama.
LSU. Oh, no, he went LSU, Miami, Bama. Right,
no, exactly. But I'm saying, he left the NFL and got Bama.
Yeah. So I'm just surprised, and I'm not shocked that he wants to coach. I thought he assumed he was probably going to coach an NFL team and had to be. So, man, what a crazy thought. Because I bet last year at this time, or not this time, but last year, as soon as he lost his job, I don't think college even came up. No. I don't think that was even a consideration.
No,
for
I think
him.
We maybe like half joked about Navy.
Yeah, right. Okay.
But
sure.
We were joking.
But now it's like to really, not only to really explore this, but then also to go to North Carolina. Like if we had to rank all the teams, there's like how many 125 teams, 135 teams? Carolina, as far as like powerhouse college teams,
yeah, is it
50?
I was going to say
40
somewhere,
tops,
somewhere in the top 40, maybe, yeah.
maybe, and like that's where he might go for a couple of years.
So
it seems very strange.
I don't know how real this is. I brushed it aside last week. I thought he was just trying to drum up interest from NFL teams. My instinct was this story would never be out there if Bill had a lot of interest.
So
real
quick,
NFL.
There's only three openings that we know of, so yeah. We can't play the game for everybody. But those three, the Jets, he's taken himself out
because
he's ripped them all and whenever he could.
Yep.
Do the Bears or Saints? Do they or should they have interest in Bill Belichick?
I mean, I wouldn't if I were the Bears because it sounds like they're going to get Ben Johnson. I'd way prefer him.
Kidding me? Give Caleb Williams and Bill Belichick?
Yeah.
What chances of that are working?
Not
zero.
High. Yeah, not high. So the I wouldn't Saints, if I were the Bears. Saints? Sure, I guess.
Maybe.
Give him a call. You can probably do better, but give him a call.
I was going to say, going from Dennis Allen to Darren Rizzi, you might want to go offense, but whatever. Like, I just, they're more of like a rebuild, right? Like, even Atlanta. If I forget the timing of it, but if they knew they had Kirk Cousins, you're like, we're going for it right now. We're trying to win the division right now. Like mm-hmm. The Saints seem like much more of a rebuild. Is Carr back? Like, what do you even do at quarterback? So none of those three spots make sense to me to bring in Bill.
So all I'll tell you, I don't know how real the interest is at North Carolina. It seems more real than I gave it credit for late last week. But I believe the part that the NFL doesn't seem interested in Bill. I totally believe that. You don't have to believe Florio if you don't want to, but it makes sense. Why is he even looking to college if there are options in the NFL? I asked that last week. That remains the question with Bill Belichick. So you can jump in. 617-779-7937. It's how you dial up and text Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. It's Patriots Monday. We've talked some Patriots on the program. Hunter Henry and Christian Gonzalez early in the show. Let's get back to the Red Sox, though. The news of the day in sports, the news of the day here where we started the show. Juan Soto, Red Sox strikeout. Do you give him any credit for being in the mix? And what's next for the Red Sox? We'll discuss that. And we still have Rob Bradford standing by live at the winter meeting. So join us at 12:30.